provides that.
Yep.
We'll talk about human language support from Drupal 5 to 6.
Thank you. So, welcome everyone. This might be a bit of an interesting wording for the title, but we will probably get over why I am having this specialized title here. But first, I'd like to introduce myself a bit. I'm working with open source software since 1999. Worked with the PHP people, have been head of the PHP Net website team and the documentation team for a few years. And we have been working with quite a few multi-language issues there. The PHP documentation is a very huge, several thousand pages document, and it's translated to multiple languages, and we needed to somehow help people do that. And I also work with Drupal since 2003, around when I started to look for CMS to migrate from PostNuke install, which was horrible. It took months to migrate the data and stuff. It's a single Hungarian site where we needed it. But then I require some other language features for other projects. So that was a natural evolvement from there. And because it's a Hungarian site, I needed to translate the interface to Hungarian. And at that time, the Drupal interface translation was very cumbersome. You can only translate your own site in your own database. It was not possible to share. It was not possible to save and put it on your any other site. So we needed to do something about it. And through all my works, in part because Dries Bathart's thought that Drupal 6 should be a multi-language release, he made me a Drupal 6 core committer. So just in case you have any bugs or problems with Drupal 6, just hook with me, send me the patch number, the issue number, and we can talk it through and maybe get it in. I have been able to get some fixes into Drupal 6 the previous day, so it was quite nicely going. As I said, I was building the PHP documentation team translation tools. I have been translating books and themes in Hungary from English to Hungarian most of the time. And I wrote my MSc thesis about multi-language software in open source content management systems. At least a few of them I've investigated deeply. And I've made plans for Drupal 6 based on that analysis. But to tailor these talks for your needs, it might be better if I know who is experienced with Drupal, or whether I have guys who are new to Drupal who's experienced with it. Most of you, okay, a few of you are not. Who built a multi-language site? No, not okay. At least two languages, yep, at least two languages actively used on the site.
Single language, but not English.
I've been a bit, I had a bit of a thinking in my thesis whether I call it a model language scenario or not. It's kind of a model language scenario in Drupal because how it is implemented, but otherwise it's not really. And who done it with Drupal? Most of you? Yeah, who done it with something else? Nobody? One. Okay. What?
Did a site without a content management system so far.
Yeah, but there are, maybe if you use some other content management system and they have some other solutions. Okay, so let's clear up some concepts first. What we briefly touched here, but it's important to distinguish, I think, is whether you are building a multi-language site or an international site. Because a multi-language site in countries like Belgium or Canada can very easily be just restricted to that country, so you have the same culture for different languages. But if you are building an international site, it might be maybe you only have the English language, but you need to serve Australian, American, and British audience. There you have like shipping costs if you have an e-commerce site, and a lot of other issues which might come up. So these are two different stuff. Maybe you have multiple languages, and maybe you have multiple target cultures or countries. You need to decide on that. What we can help with in Drupal is how you can build the multi-language stuff. What you need to tailor differently for the different cultures is up to you. You need to research that. Like all the imagery you use on your site might need to be different. If you like Europeans love to use check marks when they mean okay. When you go to Japan, they have a circle and that says okay. If you have a check mark there, it's not really what they mean. So there are quite a few cultural differences in signs and in how you express things. So that needs to be taken into account. And there are two other terms which are better to clean up. One is internationalization, which is abbreviated IITN. And it is basically how you design a product to be able to handle these needs. I've explained, so it's the design and development of a product, application, or document content that enables easy localization. So the important words are design and enables. So you have a design which enables that you do the localization stuff. And there is localization, which is actually which is the actual application of the internationalization to your own needs. There are some confusions in the Drupal world about this stuff, because we have an IIT9 module and we have a localizer module, and we have a localization server and a localization client now, and the Lockia module in core. So the wording is not actually clear in Drupal land, but it's better to know where to look for information if you're interested. So what we are trying to do in Drupal is to internationalize the system and to help you build multilingual sites. What you need to localize on your own site is up to you, and what you need to do to serve an international audience is also up to you. So how Drupal approaches these problems? We have a by design category in our backtracking system, and I will show some examples when these problems came up, because people don't understand how Drupal is designed to handle these problems. So in Drupal, there is the website source code, there's a PHP and template code you have on your web server, and it has translatable strings in there. Our system works by enabling anyone to translate that stuff since like 4 years or something, so it's quite a stable system. What's written in the source code is quite easy to translate. But what you enter, what your own menu items, your content, your aggregation categories, your taxonomy terms, your profile field titles, etc., 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 are all your own content. And the system, the localization system, which is built to translate text from the source code, is not ready for handling that. So there are some famous problems coming up because of this. Is when you install Drupal, it saves the story and page content types in Drupal 5, and it's saved in the database. So it's not in the source code anymore. So when you have your site translated to different languages, although people say that it was in the source code because otherwise it wouldn't be able to insert it into the database, but it's not translated anymore because the data is in the database, so we won't translate. If you'd like to have translated, you need to translate it yourself. A different problem with the built-in menu items, because in Drupal 5, until you edit a built-in menu item, it's always accessed from the source code. So it's always translated to the language you are viewing the page in. But if you edit a menu item, then it's your own menu item, even if you have not modified any of the text, the description or the title, it's your own menu item. So it's coming from the database and it's not translated. So you can suddenly untranslate some of your menu items if you added the pass or put it into another place. That's quite a problem. And the other famous problem is the firm's vocabulary title, which we also automatically install in install time. It's saved as a default vocabulary title and it's not translated anymore, whatever language you run on your site. I have these famous issues out of the Drupal 5 and Drupal 6 comparison because these design decisions are staying the same in Drupal 6. So it's important to know the distinction between the source code stuff and what you enter into the database. But how does Drupal 5 approach these problems? Anyway, if you have questions throughout my session, feel free to raise your hands. I love to speak, and never notice that anyone would have a question. So if you have one, then feel free to ask. Nope, okay. So what's built into Drupal 5? We have a translatable installer. Very few people know about it, but if you have the right named files at the right places in install time, which is documented somewhere, but that's what some people know, then you have your installer fully translated from the start. You need a contributed module to go on with that to import all the translations, but the translatable installer is part of Drupal 5. It's not really well documented. There's a basic interface language that's set up, which means that you have a list of languages you can use on the site, and there's a runtime interface translation with per-user preferences, which I've talked about, is that when someone comes from a source code and it needs to be displayed, it goes through queries to the database, and if a translation is found in the database, then it's replaced to the language the page is translated in, and the text is displayed in the language you are requested the page in. User preference means that if you have multiple languages on your site, more than one, then the users are allowed to select their own language to view the pages in. So that means that a lot of caching stuff needs to work per language, because the menus are translated per language, the pages, the blocks. So language needs to be taken into account when you are building a caching strategy on Drupal 5 and on Drupal 6 also. So how does it work from the inside? Yep.
With that installer, would that automatically import the strings from a specific language?
No, not in Drupal 5. In Drupal 6 it does.
Okay.
In Drupal 5 it does not.
Okay.
I'll explain how it works. So how does the runtime system work? We have a getText-based solution, which means that we use the well-known getText portable object and portable object template formats, which are simple text files with string pairs. Like, this is the English version, and this is a translated version. And all the source code you write for Drupal and you would like to contribute to the international community is required to have English text in it. The next slide will show how it's actually translated. And we can import those getText files into the database. We store all the translations in all the interface translations in the database. And when it's required, we look up stuff from the database and use that. So the getText transportation means are just for interfacing. We generate these text files for the translation teams with our specialized translation tools, because we have special functions using these texts in Drupal. So we generate template files which have empty translation strings in there, and the CVS system is used to store and release these translations for the different modules and for Drupal core itself. And when you have a Drupal module installed, this is an often mentioned problem with Drupal 5, is that you upload all your stuff to the server via FTP or some other way. And then when you turn the module on, you still need to upload the translation files on the web interface yourself manually if you don't have any other automated means. So how does it work in the source? We have the special T function, and every string which enclosed in a T, this is the go to page string, is extracted, so it's available for translation. We have these special placeholders, so just in case we have something dynamic in the strings, it's not included in here. It's generated dynamically in a page view with some variable. That's important because we can extract translation templates, which will be available for a longer time. If you have like page 1, page 2, page 3, page 4, then it will be an infinite number of strings to translate, so it would not be possible to translate it. And we also have this format plural stuff, which is easily shown in English. If your account is only one, then it says 1 year. If it's more, then it says the number of years. And it's important to know that different languages have different rules for these. Most of the how it's called in English, Slavish or the Polish, Czech, Russian languages have up to 6 or 8 plural rules, and they are very complicated. Like, if it's divided by 10 and it has a result of 4, then we have this one and that one. So they have very complicated rules for it. This takes care of that. So what our programmers need to remember is that when they have something where the wording depends on the number, then they need to use the format plural for that. So these are the two most well-known special functions, and we have quite a few other special cases, like when you have a permission hook in your code, then our extractor goes in and extracts the permission names from the array. When there are watchdog logging calls, then the watchdog type names are extracted, and so on and so on and so on. So there are a few special cases, but the most well-known are TN format plural, which end up in the template so the translator can translate them. And basically, they provide a translation of this string to their language. There are some contributing modules to help in your translation. The AutoLocker module helps in importing actually the translations for your contributing modules when you enable them. So you don't need to separately upload them via a web form and find all the, like, if you are enabling a few e-commerce modules and you have 2 to 3 languages, then you might have to upload a dozen or more files. It's not fun. It's automated with AutoLocker module. It's automatically imports all the translation files for your contributed modules you are enabling. And the localized profile is basically just a shell to get this into a default profile and enable you to do this from the start of the installation. There are 2 competing module suites, the I89, the internationalization module suite, and there's a localizer module suite. The history is that the I89 module suite was very actively developed 2 to 3 years ago, and then there was a time when it was not actually active, and an Italian guy, Roberto Garola, got completely fed up about it. It was not possible to submit patches and changes and stuff, so he copied code and started to write a different implementation. So there are basically 2 competing implementations for quite similar stuff. They are most of the time converging to the same direction. When localizer comes up with some new idea, then you have a sub-module growing in the internationalization module too. So they are getting more and more similar. And with Drupal 6, they need to rethink a lot of things anyway. So we'll see them. Maybe one of them will disappear. I'm not sure. But we will see them converge. These are for all the user-generated stuff I mentioned, like menu items, taxonomy terms, vocabularies, profile categories, profile field titles, aggregated titles, a lot of stuff, anything that you provide on the web interface. I have a lot of stuff to talk about today, so I'm not going into details about these 2 modules. I would like to show you how Drupal 6 is making your life a lot easier. And there is an Xlif tools module, which I've developed as part of my MSc thesis, which is about helping you to interface with professional translation tools. So Drupal and the internationalization localizer modules are fine if you have all your stuff on your own site. But a lot of use cases, you need to hire professional translators who are working at some company, and they want to go into your system and translate your stuff there. They have their own software. They have professional tools that have memory to remember how to translate common strings, how to translate common sentences. So when they receive a page of text, part of it is automatically translated by the tool by filling in the parts, and they only need to reread it and fix it up. So a lot of stuff in translation is automated. And it's not our task to deal with it. So there are very cool software for that. We need to just be able to interface with them. And Xlift Tools module is built for that. Xlift is a standard for interfacing between the translation tools and any other format. So if you use Microsoft Word or Excel or HTML or RTF or DocBook XML or anything, there are conversion tools for Xlift. And Xlift is understood by most of the professional translation systems. Or there are plugins to understand it. So this is just a transit format between the your site and the translation tools. And Xlift tools basically allows you to export your node content in an Xlift format, which you can import to any Xlift tool and then translate there. It outputs an Xlift, and you can import the Xlift back in Drupal. So the translation's there. It's also interfacing with the workflow module, so you can set when it's possible to export or import these translations. So if you build a complex publishing workflow, like it needs to have a draft state, it needs to be reviewed. When it's reviewed, it needs to be accepted. When it's accepted, it goes out for translation. So then it enables the export functionality until that it's not possible to export. Then it can export a translation, and then it enables the import functionality, and it goes to a different node as it's expected by localizer and internationalization module, and it's usable on the site as translation of that content. So it's basically to support a more professional workflow with an external translation tool. So there are the contributing modules for Drupal 5. And that was the built-in functionality for Drupal 5. But we wanted more for Drupal 6. And we were looking at the other systems, whether they do better or not, or just very crazy what they do. So part of my MSc thesis included digging right down to these systems and finding out what they do, why they do this. I know Joomla is not ready with 1.5, so I reviewed 1.0. They are still not ready with 1.5. The same translation solution. Wow. They are crazy. That's a horrible tool. That's basically a horrible tool. Hi, Joomla guys. BMW. Maybe they have slaves doing the translation who can have all the education to do it. Yeah. So Joomla have a built-in interface translation based on PHP constants, which means you have PHP files and you need to you need to copy the PHP files and translate the text there, and you can have your stuff there. And it works interestingly that you need to upload a tarball and it extracts the PHP files to your server, so it needs write access to all there, and it extracts the PHP files made by the translation team. So if they don't do well PHP, then you can have any PHP in your server file system. And it also has no support for Perlier stuff, actually. There's a Joomfish named add-on, which is possible to translate content. It works with simple configuration files. You say that I'd like to have in this database, in this table, in this column, in this row. So you address a cell and you say that I'd like to replace this text with a different text in a different language. So it works very low level on the database. You need to say the database name, the table name, the column name, the row ID, so you have a cell, and you know that it can be replaced with some text. It's very flexible because it can translate anything, but it has a horrible interface. It has a horrible interface. Like when you edit the content, you have a WYSIWYG editor, you have images you can drag there, and it's all fine. When you go to the translation interface, it's a serialized image array. You can't upload images for the translation like you have a translated figure or a graph. And you need to know how the serialization syntax works because the whole stuff breaks if you don't know. So it's not for humans. there's Type 03. I'd encourage you to watch the Type 03 screencast about translations if you are very bored. There's a 3-hour stuff, and there are a lot of parts in it where it is speeded up because it's doing the same and again and again to translate stuff. They have a special format for translations. It's a local lang XML format, which was made up by typo guys. They made up script languages. They made up everything for themselves. There's a special XML format used by them, which you don't have any tools out of Type 03 to handle it. But it works nicely for them. The interface translation works nicely. They have two different methods for multi-language content. They have a multi-language content method, which means that in Type 03 you basically build trees. You build websites as trees. So the multi-language content method only means that you have a tree for the English, a tree for the German, a tree for the French, etc., etc. The multi-language content integration method means that when you have a content entered into the database, then you can have translatable fields under the content. So you have a subtree in the content, and you can have your fields translated into different languages. And there's also Localization Manager client, which was developed last Christmas. And it has a Microsoft Excel XML format-based output, which can be used by external translation tools. So it's not as universal as XLIF, but it's close. There was some company who said that they will provide an XLIF. So Type 03, Microsoft Excel, XLIF translation tool, XLIF, Microsoft Excel, Type 03 would work, but they are not ready with the tool set yet. So it works with Microsoft Excel now. I also looked at Plone, who have a very cool solution. They are really. They have an interface translation with GetText stuff, so we are very close. And they have a Lingua Plone named language system. It's called a product in Plone, which allows you to have different content objects and then relate them. It's very similar to how i89n and Localizer module does it. They were going through different design steps to reach this point. A lot of people are complaining about internationalization and Localizer module doing this, that you have a different instance for your German, for your English, for your French content. But Plone guys also reached this conclusion because it makes much easier to handle them, to give them different permissions, to assign them different workflows, like so your French team is not allowed to edit the German content, or different translation teams have different reviewers who have the rights to review the content. So they have a very solid system. They have a very solid workflow system. They are lacking a lot of other areas where Drupal is cool, but multi-language stuff is very strong, and they have an XLIF import and expert support. So they were one of the poster chats for me to look at. So after we looked at all these systems and briefly to a few others, I tried to look at heavyweight enterprise Java stuff, and I went to my friends at Sun to tell me what system's good, what should I know, what should I see, and they said that we don't really have this stuff. And I checked some of the big enterprise systems, and they said, like, we don't prohibit you translating stuff. like they have a tree-based website building, so you can do anything. Like you can have different trees. We don't prohibit it. I said, okay, well, yeah, that's kind of a feature. We looked at what we can do with Drupal 6. We should have. I wish we could have been done a lot more, but we've gone a long way already. But there is a lot of stuff left for Drupal 7, I can assure you. We have a new language subsystem, which I will touch shortly. We have an easy interface translation importing functionality, which is a lot easier than Autolocia was. We have performance optimizations for single language sites, like if you have a German site, which needs to be translated from English to German because Drupal's English, then it's much performant in Drupal 6 than it was in Drupal 5. When you have more languages, then it's even better. We have content translation added, and we have a TypeScript API, sort of an API for translation extensions anyone would like to develop. So one of the new stuff is languages, where we have English and native names for all languages, because it turned out that it's quite important to have native names. So when you have a language selection, people don't understand if it's all in German, or at least I won't. If all the language names are in German. So the native names are easier to understand. We have the writing direction knowledge built into Drupal 6, so it knows if you have right to left written languages which needs to be written in the other direction. We have weights for languages, so if you have a listing of languages anywhere in your site, you can put your more important languages upper. And we have prefix and subdomain setup and recognition for languages. Maybe I can quickly show you how does this interface looks in No. I'll have that on the screen. If it's raw, my mouse. It's a bit bigger on mine. So yeah, I might be better with mirroring on. What? It's not better on my screen, but. Yeah, it might better for you. So I have a Drupal 6 install here. It has one or more problems, but I don't care. We have languages item in this site configuration part, and we know a lot more about languages now. We know the native names. We know whether it's written right or left or not. We have a way, and you can, if you go to edit, you have more information, so you can specify stuff like recognize or switch to this language if you have this prefix in the path. So if you visit node 1, it will show you the default language. If you visit r/node 1, then it shows you the Arabic version. And we also have language domain support, which means that you can have any kind of domain you can use for different languages. You can use subdomains if you want, or you can use your own different top level or your registration in the different top level domains for the languages. So it can work with these options. It only works if all these domains are pointed in the on this site. Okay. If you have a mother site is pointed on a different code base, then it will look in that database, and will look what language options you have there. So it uses those language options which you have on that subsite of your mother site installation. Okay. Yep. Yep. Yes, we also watch for the accept language stuff sent by the browser, and we recognize whether we have anything which we can use from the browser. So how do I turn mirroring off now? I'd love to see the icon here, but I don't have it. What was it? Combination, key combination, or something? You know? No. Yeah, no, so yeah, system preferences, I know. And there's no option for here. What? Yeah, it's here. Great. Yeah, I'm quite a recent Mac convert, so excuse me if I'm a bit if I have a few problems with the system. Yeah, that's it. We have right to left themes. This is not an actual screenshot of a theme, but we have most of the themes converted in Drupal 6 to be able to do right to left support. And it's possible to do it to any theme. We decided that we support -rtl.css suffix in the file names. So if you have CSS files in your system and Drupal finds right to left versions of them, then it will use that. So it's very easy to make your sites right to left if you want to. We still miss push button and Garland and Minolid themes in core, but they are Arabic guys are working very hard on making it happen. They have very few problems in Opera maybe with it, so it's looking quite nice. They are running Garland on the Arabic community sites, so it's going to happen very soon. And now it's possible to have it with any of the contributed names. As I've said, we have language detection. We, if we find something in the, anyone who's not aware what an IRI is, or IRI? You don't know? It's an internationalized resource identifier. We had the uniform resource locator, then we had the uniform resource identifier, and now we have the internationalized resource identifier. That's the, that's the latest stuff we should use. It means that you can have UTF-8 stuff anywhere in the URL. It's not possible with URIs, basically. So if you have a domain or a path which Drupal can recognize as belonging to a specific language, then it will use that. If a user preference is set for a specific user to use a language, then it is used. Then we check for the browser stuff. So if there's nothing in the path, if there's no user preference, and Drupal was set to detect, it's possible to turn it off if you don't want to detect the browser stuff, then it will look at the browser, and if nothing else works, then we fall back on the default. As I said, we also have automated imports. We redefined the translation packaging format, which means that all contributed modules need to change their way how they have the translations. But as I will reach the end of my presentation, we'll see that it will happen anyway. So we have a friendly translation package format, which means that all modules have their translations hosted in their own folder. They have a translation subdirectory, and all translations are there. It used to be that there was a po subdirectory, which nobody knows what a po is. So we have the translations. And for Drupal core, it will also be broken up into smaller files to the different modules. So when you don't enable half of Drupal core, none of the translations will get imported. So it's much performant. It's much better. We have a batch API in Drupal 6, which means that we can have a lot of tasks lined up, and it runs it in different HTTP requests, and you only see a progress bar. It goes, and it's done. So when you install Drupal 6, you have a nice screen at the start which asks for you whether you want to have the translation localized or not. If you want to, it provides you with an explanation of how to download the package and put it into a Drupal directory, and you click Next. You have a list of languages to choose from. And then at the end of all the configuration of the Drupal installation, it has this progress bar running. Is done, and you are getting to the front page of your Drupal, and it's already translated into the language you wanted it to. And when there is this feature, when you enable a module or install a module or enable a theme, you get your transitions imported in all the languages. So imagine you have four languages and you are turning on five modules at once. That could be 20 transition files imported automatically. You don't need to upload them yourself. That's quite nice. Constantine was instrumental in doing the translatable JavaScript. It was not possible to translate JavaScript before, so we mirrored the Drupal API to Drupal.t and Drupal.formatPlur, which is available in JavaScript. So any JavaScript code written for Drupal 6 and using these two functions are translatable. There is a small preprocessor in Drupal which searches for these function calls in JavaScript and pulls the stuff into the database. So even if you don't have a translation file for the JavaScript, it will show up in your database and you can translate it on the web interface. And the extractor for Drupal 6 will already include this one. Yeah, and there's already simple theming in JavaScript. There's a theme function in JavaScript. It was basically required for this to work because the placeholders in FormatPlur and in T require theming. So there's a there's a very thin JavaScript theming layer, which is quite nice. Yep, I said we have a task groups API, which means that in Drupal 5 it was only possible to have the interface text translated with this getText toolset. Now there are a lot of other stuff in Drupal 6 which you might would like to or you would like to translate with this toolset. Like if you have your taxonomy terms, those are little strings or aggregated categories and profile fields. So we have the possibility to translate this in Drupal 6. It's not built in. So it's still not possible to translate these. I will get to it. But we have a text group system which allows you to not only translate the built interface, but have anything else translated. And so basically, you can use the getText importing workflow for any stuff you would like to. But you need to code that stuff for yourself because the TypeScript API itself is not used for anything in Drupal except the default interface. So, yeah, we didn't have enough time for that. There was a lot of modifications. Okay. And we have the possibility also to have on-page interface translation, and I have a module for you which allows for it. It means that it can collect all the strings used on the page and translate it. And it's also useful for optimizing your strings use. Maybe if I have time for demos in the end, I will show you that one. It looks nice already, but it can be much better still. We have content language support, which means that any content you enter into Drupal 6 can have a language associated, or it can be a language neutral content, like an image with no text or something you don't know the language of and you don't want to know it. So it can be either language neutral or can have any of the languages you have enabled on the site. This is configurable per content type, so if you have like forums, they can have the default language associated and you don't have it translated to different languages, or you're not interested in having a language tag on them. It doesn't support content translation. That's a different functionality. It's also built into Drupal 6, but it's not there, so you can use just the content language stuff. It might be useful for personal blogs where you post your blog stuff. You sometimes post in your own language, you sometimes post in English, you sometimes post in something else. So you can set what language it is in, but you don't want to translate it. If you want to translate it, there's built-in content translation in Drupal 6, which means that you can have different nodes, different posts, which are related as being in the same translation set. And they basically need to be in different languages, and the system tries to make sure that you don't have two of the same languages, and so on and so on. And there's a basic workflow to signal whether your translation is outdated. So there's a notion of a default language for content, which basically you entered first in the translation set. That's the default node of the translation set. And every translation can be outdated if the original node is modified, but of course the real workflow module in Contrib can do anything with this stuff. They are basically nodes. And as I've said, we decided that we need different nodes for the different language stuff because you can have different permissions, you can have different images associated with them, you can have different comments, you can have different counters on it, etc., etc. It has a lot of advantages. And the API allows you to share different data between these posts. So if you think of events, which you, maybe you have this Flask and event, it has the same date, it has the same location, it has the same program, but you would like to have different descriptions in English and German. So the system allows you to share content between different nodes. It's not built into the core. It's part of the programming API. We expect CCK to make use of it. We cannot make sure that they will make use of it, but it's possible to do it. Yep. And we also have Perl language aliases. So if you have something which has the same URL in all languages, like the contact form, you have /contact. You can have it aliased to different languages with a different string, and it still works with different prefixes. This is the example of home. This is in Hungarian, and this is in Spanish, I guess, probably. Jose. And we have still more stuff to talk about. We have lower level changes. Drupal 6 allows you to have multilingual requests. So, for example, when you are sending 100 mails to different users in a request, like you have a newsletter you would like to send out to all your users, and they have different languages, language preferences. So what was done before is that all was sent in the same language, and in the language the request was initiated in. So if you were like a Russian guy and you were in the interface and you pressed the send button, then every user got the Russian email because you see the Russian interface, so they get the Russian email. If the cron was running, then everybody was getting the default language because cron was running the default language. Now we have multilingual request handling. So when you send an email, you can specify, the programmer specifies what language should in that email be in. So every user gets emails in their own languages. And log messages were no different. They were always logged in the language the page was in. So if you have four languages on the site, you had a mixture of log messages in four languages. So if you didn't know all the four languages, then some log messages you didn't understand. Now the log messages are stored in English, and they are localized on demand when you view your logs. So it's localized into the language. You are viewing the page in, and there is still more to talk about. There's some hardcore stuff for guys mostly who would like to use Drupal in English, but would like to translate some stuff or modify some stuff in the English interface. It's now possible to have a string array in the settings.php file of the site and override a few number of strings for your site. It means that you don't need to have Lockyer module installed, you don't need to use its cache, you don't need to use anything. If you just need to modify a few very small number of strings, it's very efficient. If you need to modify 100 or 1,000, I wouldn't suggest this, but if you need to modify a few of them, then it could be quite nice. But here comes the but. Still no way to translate your site settings, your categories, your vocabularies, your user-defined menus, your aggregated categories, your profile field titles, your category names, your content type properties, your user node stuff, your anything. So most of the stuff, apart from nodes, that's user provided. It's by default, by Drupal 6, built-in, not translatable. You've seen we have a lot of stuff done, but we need to leave something for Drupal 7. Because otherwise we won't upgrade. So this is left for Drupal 7. We expect I89 and localizer or localizer module to update and do all this stuff for you. I don't know when it will happen. I know it will surely will happen with the internationalization module, because development is basically sponsors that it should happen, so they are using it for clients. So it will happen. I don't know how localization is going. The maintainer is not really communicative through our development process, so I don't know yet. And there will be a lot of contributed modules using these enhancements better to have better performance, to have better localization, and stuff like that. I talked about a lot of Drupal 6 stuff, but honestly, I only touched a very small portion of what's new in Drupal 6. These were the language stuff. This is a complete list of what's for you in Drupal 6. And the language stuff, but at other areas, it's huge. So you need to try it out. You need to check how it works. I hope we will have a beta really soon. I'm not sure it will be, but I hope to have it soon. What was that?
10 minutes.
10, okay. This was for Drupal 6. But what Robert said is that I was also working this summer for a Google Summer of Code project. So I worked on more tools. I've built the localization server, which I will show you in a few minutes maybe. What I've said before is that translation is quite cumbersome. We have the text in the source code. It needs to be extracted. It needs to be committed into CVS. Translators need to know CVS. They need to have a tool to translate to get text files. They need to commit it back to CVS. They need to manage all the releases. So when a project has a new release, they need to manage to get the translations for the release, because if they are not making the translation by the time it's released, it's not possible to have the translation in the release anymore, because release turbos are frozen basically. When it's released, it's not possible to modify. So translations are not getting in. So they need to know CVS, they need to know the GetText tools, they need to know the release stuff, they need to fiddle with project nodes, they need to manage the releases, they need to build a team, they need to collaborate, and there are no good tools for this yet. Some translation teams use case tracker, some use project module themselves on their own site setup. So it's quite scattered, some are not coordinating at all. We are anarchic system in the Hungarian translation team. I say the final word. So we translated themes to makeup in Hungarian, and they were like, it's quite a feminist translation for this stuff. And we're like, oh, so maybe anyway, that's how it works. So we thought that we need a better translation support tool, and we built this localization server. For people, and I'm just going through the remaining slides and I show you what you are interested in more. So I said you should try Drupal 6. It's not a beta release yet, but there's a development snapshot at that address. And make sure to report all the bugs you find. There are bugs in Drupal 6 still there. And I hope we have a beta release soon. We are progressing quite well. We made quite a bit of progress at this conference, so I hope we have a release quite soon. I'm not sure. If you're interested in the finer details of how others do this, why we do this way in Drupal 6, I have my thesis uploaded up there, and Rhys already has it on his blog. It has a summary of all the problems, the different culture issues, plotter stuff, how's replacement going, and stuff like that. How these systems do it, what I planned for Drupal 6. And although it actually not ended up exactly like that, it ended up a lot similar to that, what I planned. And I should mention that this work was, my thesis work was sponsored by Development Seed. And I got this great t-shirt from them too for that. So they were great supporters. They were paying Jose to work on this on company time, so they are great for the internationalization stuff. And Google Summer of Code sponsored my localization server work. Basically, I had quite a lot of support for my stuff. Thanks for watching. What are you interested in from all of this stuff? Everything? Nothing. What are you interested in from all of this? Thank you. If you are interested in anything, I can still have 3 or 4 minutes to demo something for you. If not, then feel free to go to the next session. Thank you. Transition server. Okay. Cities to maybe that works better. Better. Not that good, but better. Roll. So basically, it works that every translation group has his own organic group. Like if I log in there, there's the translation themes. We actually have that many languages already for Drupal. So it's quite a bit of a work for handling all that. So every group has its own organic group. They have like they could have like dictionaries here or discussions. And for every group, we have an overview of all the projects running. I have this demo site for Drupal e-commerce and organic groups, but this will have the thousands of projects running on Drupal.org. And they have a translation status indicator. You can go into the translation interface. Now I'm a member of this group, so I can go and translate stuff here. Maybe I'm doing something easy here. That's a Hungarian. It's quite a Hungarian. I'm not putting that replacement, but it's not. Okay. Let's be strict about it. You mean, okay, so I copy this there to make it quickly. And there we go. So I save the translation, I save all the page actually, it says that I should edit, and it's actually there. I can show the translation field if I want to, I can copy either the translation or the original stuff there. I can see where it's used actually. It was translated by me at this time. It was used in Drupal 4.7.7 one time. If I have some more complex stuff, like which is used elsewhere, like let's filter for delete. Let's see. Yeah, that's used by these modules quite a few places. It tries to help you with these replacement strings, and it even tries to help you if you have some very long stuff to when you have an email formatted, it's quite easy to break it if you are not ready for that stuff. I'm not a good searcher, but anyway, what I like to show is that it shows where it has the new lines. So when an email is formatted, it's quite important to have it look like similar in different languages. Then we have these filters there. We can filter for untranslated stuff, suggested or translated. We can filter for all the releases. Yep. You can filter by release, and we can search for a specific string, and it then restricts the shown stuff to only those strings where it is shown. And there are two nice functions, one import, which imports a translation file, and an export, which basically generates a nice Torbal, which is in the format where Drupal 6 expects it. So let's say I'm exporting organic groups, export. So I can export a translation template if I want to translate in an external tool, or I can filter for a specific release and export translation, and I get a Torbal, which I can download here, and check what's in there. Where did it go? shouldn't it, ex- it should have been a, yeah. So it's in a format expected by the system. It has a translations subfolder, and it has all the files in the translation subfolder. So if you extract this structure into the org, then you have a translation subdirectory there and all the files there, which are importable, and these contain the translations to Hungarian already. So that's how it works now. It provides a collaboration interface through organic groups. It provides an input and export functionality, and it shares the translations. So you can see that this Hungarian status I reached was only one file to import, and it spans to different projects because they use the same strings. So it gets a lot easier to translate the other contributing modules then. And even if I'm not authorized to translate here, I can still review or export stuff for myself if I'd want to. So I can still go there and review what's available there. That's how it looks. That's what I entered now. So that's how it works now. It's going to, it's very tightly integrated into Drupal org project management infrastructure, so it automatically knows about all the projects run there, all the releases of all the projects run there. It downloads the tarballs, it extracts the translatable strings, so it knows so it knows what's translatable in all releases of all projects on Drupal org. It takes a huge amount of time to extract all the stuff, but it kind of works. There's basically no other way to do it. We need to run through all the stuff once, and then the incremental updates will be a lot faster. Then there's just a small test site I have locally installed here. And you might be interested in the localization client, aren't you? That's currently this little stuff at the bottom of your page. I'm now in a Hungarian interface, although it shows English because I don't have anything imported, and I can translate anything that's shown on this page to Hungarian. I'll let it be correct in case some Hungarian guys watching this video there. So I have it translated, and then I can go through and translate what's in the page. It's much easier to do than going into the local interface, searching for the stuff, what I've seen not translated somewhere, and then finding it out how to translate and submitting it, and then going back to the page and rechecking whether it's translated or not. There's a translation client. There's a plan to integrate it with the server to share. So when you enter the translation there, it goes up and is shared with the community. It's a very easy modification. I've not yet done it. I'm concentrating on getting Drupal 6 out. And we are getting help from development seed for getting these interfaces better. It needs some user interface guy looking at it, so it's going to be even better than this. That's it. Thank you.
If you've got a website, you need a system to manage your content, Drupal. If you want to build a web application, you've got to download Drupal. Drupal, 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 Drupal. Drupal, 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 Drupal. Drupal, 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 Drupal. Drupal, 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 Drupal. If you've got a website, you need a system to manage your content, Drupal. If you want to build a web application, you've got to download Drupal. Drupal, 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 Drupal. Drupal, 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 Drupal. Drupal, 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 Drupal.